Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Grains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I'm joined, as always, by Haley, a.k.a. Arizona Right Watch.
Hello, everybody. I am here from your third week in hell. Wait. Well, it's just the third week that I've said that I'm in hell. In a row because of abortion stuff. So hi.
Hey. And we're also joined by the mysterious L.
Mushy mushy, my beautiful babies. It's me, L. And I'm here mustering as much enthusiasm as I can and not leading the episode by talking about how much of a bummer abortion rights is.
I'm sorry. It's happening right now again.
You're positive.
Last week when we recorded, it was happening when we were recording, like the House and Senate being in session, and it's happening literally again right now. And I was just sent a video from a friend who is in the chamber, and it was the whole crowd up top singing like Amazing Grace or some shit. It's just like, this is just my Wednesdays now. My Wednesdays for the last 3 weeks have been dealing with this shit. So it just times perfectly with the podcast.
Yeah, remember that every time you dare to feel even remotely proud about your state of Arizona. Your state of Arizona deserves nothing but shame. And that's what you're here for. Yeah. You are our flag bearer for the Magic the Gathering players out there. And all shame must target you when it comes to that shit. And then, but then I'm here to keep it light and fluffy, which is why I went casual Japanese, baby, quietus. You know? Everybody knows it. And then Mike is also here. And Mike times in more when we're talking about the stuff that is like news related.
Okay, well, keep it light. What did you do this weekend?
Abortions. Sorry. Fuck all so far, really. I did do a thing, and it's incredibly nerdy, so I will share it. I've got a new D&D game coming up, so I have been preparing a potential assortment of miniatures for my new D&D game, because I have a character, and the character has a horse. So it may behoove me to have both a character and a horse. And in addition to that, a character on top of a horse mini or set of minis. So I've been looking into that, and it's been dorky and fun, and it's been getting me thinking about doing miniature painting again, which is also dorky and fun. and something that Sarge got into after he left the show and his schedule changed up. He had more time for painting, which he started doing, and he's gotten quite good at. Good for him. Well, he'll never listen to this, so fuck you, Sarge. But also, good work, Sarge. We're proud of you, buddy.
Are you good at painting?
I have a natural talent for it, but I haven't done it in some time. Yes.
Interesting.
Which is one of those things that was very surprising to me and everyone I knew like a decade ago. The first time I was just like, yeah, I guess I'll try to paint some minis. We were all just like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Hidden talent.
L was very good with his the painting of his orc teams and Blood Bowls. He was.
I even forgot about those. That was even prior to the thing. That was over 20 years ago at this point, or just about 20 years ago at this point. Holy shit. Time flies. And then like a couple of years ago, some friends and I randomly went to an art bar, and the prompt was to paint this candle, and they were showing us how to paint a candle, like literally paint on canvas a portrait of this candle. When they were like, hey, you want to come to this art bar and paint a candle? I thought we were going to be doing the thing where they give you like a candle and you like dip it into wax or paint or whatever to make it look all like tie-dye and shit. And then I got there and it was like a bunch of canvases set up, and I was just like, oh, we're going to be like painting. And then they're just like, okay, well, you can do your own thing. And I was immediately just so bored by the idea of painting this fucking candle that I went off and did my own thing. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. I thought I was just like, wow, this is coming out surprisingly well. Like, I didn't know that this was going to come out good at all. And I felt a little proud of myself. And then two of the fucking people that were working there, like, came by and just glanced at what I was doing and were just like, oh, do you paint in your off time? And then my head got super huge, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm doing it. I am the Goodwill Hunting of painting. And then eventually I let myself come back down to earth. I kept most of that to myself, but I did feel very, very chuffed by it. And then, I let myself come down to earth, and I was just like, I guess I just have a natural talent for painting, but I don't do it, so I'm certainly not good.
Do live nude painting.
Pass.
Really?
I mean, I just don't really give a fuck about painting the human form on a canvas. Like, I do,
pose.
like,
you could pose. That'd be fun. Have people paint you.
Yeah, but I don't think when people go to like paint a human figure, they want to be painting Peter Griffin from that episode of Family Guy where he wished he had no bones.
It's sort of what my body looks like. It's not everybody, it's a unique bodies, you know. Learn how to draw different bodies, you know. I think it'd be fun.
Look, Haley, this is an interesting way to tell me that you want to see me naked.
No, I'm not.
We'll reserve that for Hellworld After Dark. Anyway. But what did you do this weekend? Because your state sucks, but I'm sure that your life doesn't completely blow. But you have to have fun. What did you do that was fun this week?
I went to a zine fest, and I got a lot of stuff, but look at this hat that I got. It's a little cat with a butt.
Rock on, and I get it. Traditionally, cats have... Dear listener, this is a very rough but deliberate illustration of a cat with a human butt facing the camera, which is a fun little play on the way it normally is, because they typically have a tiny little pink starfish for a butt, but this one is caked up, and its cheeks are facing you, the viewer. So that is the hat. It is very cute.
The Zine Fest was very fun. Lots of cool local artists. It's kind of like a scene that would probably be described as woke. But I ended up picking up a zine.
Wee-oo, DEI! Woo, yo, there's DEI at the Zine Festival, dog!
But...
I don't know why, but when you did that little whisper into the microphone, that little... I just started laughing and staring. I don't know why it broke me so much, but it did.
But I found a zine that I'm going to read from front to back. And we will probably... we could probably get bonus content out of this thing, because... I don't know what's going on here. It's like kind of QAnon and also like kind of SovSit, and definitely like we are no longer human because the government forced us to take the vaccine and then we all became transhumanists, but also trans rights are human rights. It's really weird. So I have to...
It's like a new age... It's a new age you track. Get it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, and so...
I want to punch that guy in the face, and probably not for any of the reasons that any other liberal would, but for somebody to look me into my face and tell me that I've become transhuman just because I took the vaccine, like, if you come to me and you're just like, hey, you've become transhuman, and what that means for you is that you feel the exact same. Your body is exactly the same level of shitty as it always has been. You don't have any cybernetic parts. You don't have any powers. You don't have any agency. Same as it ever was. I'll choke you to fucking death. How dare you take that dream away from me? When I finally become transhuman, I'm going to use my psychic powers to kill the people I hate.
Wow.
That's a fact. That's going to happen.
Did you take the vaccine? Are you okay? Is everything okay?
I did, and my self-perception hasn't changed, so I'm just very aggrieved. It was supposed to be different, you know? First the Obama thing, and now this. Like, when's it going to be my time? When is this white, cisgender, heterosexual, mostly male going to finally catch a break in this world of ours?
I wish that it did at least give us the 5G, because I go through roads in Arizona where I get no reception, and it's like, I'd like some 5G.
Hell yeah. One last question before I move on to Mike real quick. What was your, aside from the soft set thing, what was your favorite zine that you saw? What was your favorite wokest zine?
There was some interesting zines from the group. I'm gonna do it again. There was a table for the people that are collecting signatures for the AZ for abortion access, but it was also, they had featured art by artists, and then like zines like how to use certain contraceptives, and they were handing out those contraceptives, including like Plan B, and I thought that was really interesting. They had them in multiple languages, and then also there was a zine that it's kind of in this like whole little kit, and it comes with a button and like a card and like a little zine, and it's the truth about horses, and it's like a supposed to look like a conspiracy zine that horses aren't real, and it's a government conspiracy. I like that one.
Hell, I also, yeah, got a, it's really like, good horses block aren't print. Real is a great one.
I really got a really good block print art piece that says Kissinger is dead.
Oh man,
so fuck, shout out to all guy. Those artists.
Hell yeah. And now it's Mike, sir. What the fuck did you do this week, bud? So it's a light pre-boosh this week, you know, where I'll just sort of vibe.
Yes. Hey, Hades 2, I got to get on the test access of that, and Hades was one of the greatest games ever, and I've just been super pumped that I got to play. And I get to kill Hecate 3 more times before they're going to kick me off the server. So that's going to be a ton of fun.
How are you
liking 2? It's awesome. Like, they brought back, allegedly they're bringing all the gods back, although we haven't seen a few of them already. But when Artemis showed up, like, I was just the happiest clam in the sea. She was always like, she was my favorite god from the original game. And in this one, for people that have played 80s one, she's kind of like Thanatos in this one, where she like helps, she like shows up and actually starts throwing some punches with you in the room. So it's like really kind of cool. And like, the story is very interesting. Everything's great. Again, we're getting a small sample of the actual game here, but so far, so good. So far, like, 10 out of 10, no notes.
Yeah, I'm happy that it's coming, and I'm happy that you are enjoying your time with it. I also like that it really highlights how the manner in which we consume certain media diverges greatly, because I also love Hades 1 so much, in fact, that I would rather die than help them fucking playtest their shit ahead of schedule. Like, I'm glad that there are other people like you who want to do it, because I want it to get playtested. But fuck no. I like the first one so much. When it comes out, I want it to be the polished. I want it to be the experience that I got from the first one, because I didn't play in the pre-alpha or the alpha for the first one either. I just waited for it to get released, even though everybody on Earth was talking about it. Like, you know, all the video game podcasts were like, so good. So, yeah. Hades is great. I'm glad we're getting a second one. It's their first sequel. It seems like they have decided to just make the first game again, which I will allow them to do once, and that's because Hades 1 is great, and I'm happy to do a run back on it. I don't know if I want 3 of them to all be identical. Then we're getting into Mega Man territory. It's like, all right, slow your roll there, buddy. It's like, all right, now, come on, buddy.
Oh, yeah. There's some differences so far. There's, like, a resource system, and when you go out into the game, you can, like, take, like, one resource gathering tool, and it's, like, a question just, like, for what you need. Like, if you want to go mining, you got to take your pickaxe. If you want to, like, help bring spirits back to your home base and get like spirit energy from them, you have to take a different tool to the, to out with them. And unfortunately, in the test run, they haven't given us the fishing rod yet. You bastards!
Are you one of these sickos that loves a fishing mini game in a game for no reason?
Not really, but it just makes me laugh. That like the obsession that people have with the Hades fishing minigame is hilarious. And like, I just saw so many streamers that were like, "No, why do I not have the fishing rod?"
Oh, dude, it's not just Hades, brother. It's like a thing. It's like this pervasive virus amongst video game players. For whatever reason, it's like one out of every three video game players just craves a fishing minigame, like Precious Blood. And they don't know they want it until they encounter games that have it, and they're just like, I fucking love fishing game.
Yeah, I like fishing in Animal Crossing and Skyrim. I don't know why. It's like, it's just kind of a pause from the game. I always do it for way too long once, and I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I'm done.
I had that problem like 20 years ago. There was a game that came out for the Dreamcast called Shenmue, and one of its most charming features to me was the fact that if you went to the arcade, there was like in the game there was an assortment of real Sega Genesis games that you could play. So I spent almost all of my time in Shenmue for like a weekend, just like doing odd jobs to make enough money to go to the arcade and play Space Harrier. It was very stupid. I to be young and just have an unlimited amount of time to be like, yeah, what else could I be doing? Playing outside? I've got no obligations.
I actually pulled out my Switch and I've been playing a little bit of video games lately.
Wow, epic gamer over here when you're playing like Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley.
I am going to actually, I want to play Hades because you guys have told me multiple times. But I've just been playing Smash, Super Smash.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of fighting, just get a little bit of rage out.
Yeah, I was very tempted to play another run through of Stardew Valley. A lot of people randomly get the, like, you know, it comes in waves for a lot of people, and I just happened to have crested it with a bunch of other folks I saw online. They were just like, sort of thinking about playing more Stardew now that the big patch came out. But I resisted that urge, especially because my roommate is borrowing my Switch, so it's like, that's fine. I don't need to buy it on yet another platform, you know. Anyway. That is enough pre-boosh. Look at us. And we recommended recommended some stuff to people. Look at us. We're doing great. We talked about whether or not horses are real, which they totally are not. Fake fucking news.
Government conspiracy.
Yeah, dude. The earth is flat and horses are all just two guys that are out to get you in a costume. You know? All right. But it's time for us to talk about our amuse-bouche.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
Already, bouchy topic number one. I guess this week Tucker Carlson has decided to go slightly more bananas than normal. But I don't know shit about this. So, Mike, what's going on with our zany, wacky buddies, Tucky C?
Our boy Tucky C went on the Joe Rogan show and decided that he was like, you know what? I'm on Rogan, so I got to up the crazy. I just can't come here with like the normal bullshit about whatever, 9/11 being an inside job, which I think they got into. But he decided to explain that we have supernatural beings that exist in the oceans of the world, and that our governments know about these supernatural beings, that we've been kind of, you know, like dealing with them. We got like deals, treaties, negotiations, all that good
mermaids?
Stuff.
Like mermaid deals, like with Poseidon and shit.
It felt more like energy kind of things. It felt more just sort of like they were incorporeal. I don't have enough context to truly know what he was going for, but the gist of it was is that there's a lot of supernatural shit out there and way more ocean based than land based. And so he had that. And then at one point, Joe Rogan made the like comment about, you know, evolution, how we all got here and all this kind of stuff. And Tucker Carlson was like, evolution, bro, you buy into that bullshit? And Tucker just went full creationism on him. Just, you know, evolution, schmevolution. What are you doing?
I mean, to be fair, that really jives with his merpeople theory, right? Because, like, that's one of the fucking classic, what's it called there, atheist criticisms of the Bible. It's just like, Noah's Ark, man. Like, what, so God didn't have any beef with fish? Like, all the fish were fine, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's how we got sharks, because God was just like, you're cool, bro. And it's just like, well, the, like, you know, that's why he's just like, you have to look to the sea for your mysteries, man. Because our Lord, big ups, he decided to destroy the world by water. And that means there's all sorts of aquatic horrors of which we know nothing.
That's true. They never got the reset. They just got more water, you know? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, interesting. Exactly.
In fact, now must suck for them compared to back when, like, you know, we've reclaimed, like, what, 50%? Of land mass, like, from
they're
the
like,
earth.
Man, you remember the Great Flood? That was awesome.
Yeah, they're just like, like fucking global climate change, you know, like, we're losing water by the day. Anyway.
Yeah, I just like the idea of, like, shark culture being like, why did God turn his back on us after God granted us victory? He cruelly snatched it away. Why? What did we do?
I guess humans just wanted it more.
Yes.
God could have made Jesus a shark. The Messiah could have been a shark. It would have been mad easy for God. He could do all sorts of stuff, that wacky guy.
That's our new B-movie that we're going to start a GoFundMe for.
Yeah, shark movie.
Religious shark movie.
Yeah, religious shark movie. That's going to be the name of it.
That's its actual name.
Yeah, for the people that brought you name. Washington football team for those two glorious seasons or whatever it was.
Oh God! Apparently, the Arizona hockey team is moving.
Yep,
your Coyotes are leaving. Yep. Arizona sucks. They're moving to Utah, and they're not going to have a name for at least 1 year. They're literally going to be Utah Hockey Team.
Utah Hockey Team.
Oh, that's so hell awesome! Yeah. I want T-shirts.
Yes,
that's incredible.
Yes,
yeah, dude. Did they ever make Washington football team merchandise?
They did. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude, they're going to be milking Washington football team just as much as I am for years and years to come. Every fucking 5 or 10 years roll out of the Washington football team merchandise. It's going to fly off the shelves.
Why do they not get a name for a year?
Because apparently they've said that they, quote-unquote, want the Utah hockey team to get the name right. So, like, they don't want to rush them into a name that would be not great. So they're, like, sort of... And apparently the people that own the team now are going to keep the rights to the term Coyotes, and they're going to try to, like, basically get an expansion team back in Arizona in a few years that will keep all the colors and scheme and name of the Arizona Coyotes. So when they move to Utah, they're just, like, a new team entirely.
Because I know my grades will love it, and because I can't help myself, I'm going to tell them to stop ignoring my letters and change the name to the Utah Moronis. That's obviously
I agree.
Obviously the name that Mike Rands wants the most, and I'm right there with them. You cowards, yes. The Utah Moronis. Here we go.
The Utah Golden Plates. Damn it, the Vegas Golden Knights. Okay, Vegas, you gotta shave the golden off your name. You're the Vegas Knights now, and the Utah team is the Vegas is the Utah Golden Plates. So there can only be one golden team in hockey, and it's gonna be Utah's. If they're not the
Moronis. Remember when the segment of the Boosh was just talking about Tucker Carlson? What a time that was. So aside from fucking going full creationist, which is, like, fine, I guess.
Yeah, that's,
I
mean, pretty tracks right, with, like, him being a weirdo Christian too.
Interesting. It seems like, if anything, it seems more desperate than crazy. It seems sly and desperate, you know, because he's just like, as long as he pivots to hard conservative Christian, he can always retain some amount of his base.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's just going creationism, going full Kentovan and just doing all that shit. I mean, hey, why not? There's an audience for it.
Because it turns out that Tucker Carlson was probably not ready to get severed from the fucking cable teat, you know? Like, he needed that teat. That teat was supplying him his viewers. People don't want to watch Tucker Carlson anywhere but on cable, you know? Like, you can't go to Twitter or Truth.
And a lot of his right. audience is like, what's a podcast? Where do I go? This is too confusing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the median age for a Fox viewer is like 68. They're not on fucking X to see whatever bullshit he's talking about.
Yeah, every time they load up Twitter, they see, like, whores that they hate, like, fucking not wearing any clothes. And as soon as they're done masturbating to them, they hate them, and then they leave. They're just like, fuck this. This is the worst, and we hate it. And we're done coming, so we're out of here. See you later. Speaking of out of here, see you later. Let's move on to our next Boosh topic, which is going to be a fun one, I suppose. I guess. Man's got to have a take on everything. Ukraine aid package passed, and I guess we have to talk about Donald Trump being cool with it? Question mark? What's going on with that, Mike?
Okay, so basically, the Ukraine bill, which had been stalled for forever by a Republican sack of shit, Mike Johnson, he finally let the bill go to the House floor where it passed overwhelmingly. The Senate just passed it. Biden signed it today. So all kinds of cool stuff is now going into Ukraine to help them kill Russian people, which is awesome and good and should happen. But QAnon... originally, when this all happened, started like screaming and yelling that Mike Johnson sold them out, that he's betrayed America, blah, 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 endless wars, all that kind of shit. But then some QAnon promoters decided, we're going to try to take a different tax here. We're going to cut it into a different lane. And what we're going to say is that, you know, like Mike Johnson just went to Mar-a-Lago like a week ago and talked to Trump. And then Trump was like, yeah, the Ukraine aid would be okay if it was like a loan. We just can't give them the money. They got to give it back to us with interest. So maybe Mike Johnson did what Trump wanted him to do. And like this funding is all like totally okay. And it's cool. And we just have to accept like whatever Trump's five-dimensional chess move is here and just trust the plan, which it's like, it's not a loan. We just gave them the money. And we didn't even really give them the money. All we're doing is just giving them surplus fucking military shit that we already have. And the $61 billion is just us funding the replacements that we're going to build for ourselves. Because America's not currently in a war. And we can just fucking take our time rebuilding all the shit that we just gave to Ukraine. It's no muss, no fuss.
We don't have to worry about it. And also, you know, we haven't really talked about it, I guess, that much. Like, you know, the Ukraine thing keeps coming up, but we haven't really needed to delve into it too recently because for some weird reason in America, the headlines have been dominated by politics. But we're not giving the money to Ukraine and just getting nothing. We're giving the money to Ukraine to, like, stabilize the region, to help send a message to Russia, and like, you know, if we all unite to help Ukraine get out of this sticky situation or whatever, then it's just like, you know, you have another you have an ally, somebody that you have by the balls because you bailed them out because you're America. That's what America does. We sell weapons to everybody, and then when they fight each other, we help one side. They're just like, okay, now you owe us, you know. That's what we're paying for. That's where our taxpayer money's going. So unless you're going to be mad about it, like, just like, you know, if you're just like, fucking Ukraine package, couldn't we use that to like end the homeless crisisness? Then, you know, you might have like a leg to stand on or whatever. But the people were just like, why the fuck are we sending our money overseas to begin with? It's like, for a variety of reasons. Like, you don't get to be the number one country on Earth without being like Earth Cop, which is what America is. The Earth Cops.
Right. I mean, like, that's what always makes me laugh about this shit is people are like, we should be dealing with our own things. Well, this is what do we care about this? It's like, well, we care about the international community. We care about Ukraine being a democracy versus Russia being a dictatorship. If Russia conquers Ukraine, they're not going to stop. They're probably going to look to start fucking around with like Poland and the rest of Eastern Europe. Like,
no way. They're going to stop this time. Don't worry about Crimea or whatever it was 6 years ago when they did their test run for the Ukraine thing and everybody was just like, hey, we see you taking that strip of land. We're going to let you do it. But we're watching, we're seeing you do it. And we don't like it. You stop that. They said.
Right.
They said semi-firmly. You know? They didn't go fuck.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing is that these same people, I mean, not QAnon, because QAnon is pro-Hitler and just generally a bunch of shitty fucking Nazis. But I mean, these same people who are like, man, World War II was so bloody and vicious and horrible. How did it come about? It's like, well, mostly because America and Western Europe just like buried their heads in the sand for as long as they possibly could about how dangerous Hitler and the Japanese were until Hitler and the Japanese started directly punching those people in the head. And those people were like, oh, shit, we're being punched. Time to start punching back, I guess. I mean, so it's like, you know, if maybe we had, like, I don't know, said, told, like, Hitler, no, we're not giving you this or Dayton land. No, we're not appeasing you left, right, and center. We're actually going to start arming up now, you fuck. Like, a lot of that shit could have been averted.
But, anyway, how are Trump's sycophants responding to Trump being fifth dimensional? Do they, like, is this enough to rattle anybody? Or are they like, boo, Trump, he's fucking up. He's finally done it. He's showing weakness. Get him.
Well, the people that want to be mad about it, it's the it's the good cop, bad cop bullshit, where even though, again, Trump controls the Republican Party, the fact that this passed means that, like, Mike Johnson betrayed him. Like, so if you're mad about it, you're just blaming Mike Johnson. If you are weird to ambivalent about it, you're trying to tell people, hey, wait a minute, maybe Ukraine aid passing ain't a bad thing. Maybe there's a reason for it. Some guy I saw posted, like, quote-unquote vote comms, where it was, I don't know the exact numbers, but just basically imagine if you broke down every number in all of the voting between the yays, the nays, the people that voted present, and the people who didn't vote. If you added up every single digit in all of them, it came out to 17. And they were just like, look, vote comms, patriots in control. And it's like, I thought Q loved Putin and hated Ukraine. Why is Q sending a message that we're now arming Ukraine? I don't understand.
Because fuck you, Mike. Shut up. That's why. You just got to trust the process. And the process is mixing up numbers in whatever way you need to get the number you'd like to pop out. And sometimes converting those numbers into letters. It's a real fun game. You and any number of your friends can play, and you can make the universe tell you whatever you'd like it to. So easy.
We should call this game Gematria. I think we're on to some new hotness here.
Yeah,
I was on the road and saw a mile 17 marker, and I wanted to steal it for you so bad.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you sick freaks have pointed my brain to the numbers 14 and 88 and like all sorts of horse shit. It's the worst. Yeah, fucking Jim Carrey, the number 23, dude. Talk about the number 88. Every time I'm just like, I'm ready to clock them. I'm just like, do they look like they were fucking born in 1988? Because if not, dude, I'm coming. Like. That's not true. I'm a pussy. Anyway,
it is a good way to know, though, if people, listeners, if you see that in someone's user and you see that in their name and their at, and they don't look like they were born in 1988.
I mean, that is actually a good rule of thumb, and I do use that online. You know what I mean? Like that was how I found out that that one person that was at my reunion was quite undesirable, because I was like, wait a minute, we all graduated too old for us to any of us to be. that math ain't math in there, boy.
And if there's a 14 in front of it, be even more wary.
Yeah.
Not anyways, moving on.
I was 14 in 1988. Anyway. But yeah, it's actually time for us to talk. And like, you know, let's stop talking about Nazis and white nationalists and horrible conservative bullshit, and instead talk about Arizona. Wait, that can't be right. Anyway, it's a classic because it works. It's Arizona Madness with Haley, aka Arizona Right Watch, who I hope is who Mike Raines was desperately pointing at there, and not him pointing at me because I said a thing that I wasn't supposed to. No, did I accidentally say the N-word while I was leading up to the Arizona thing? Do we have to stop recording now? Is that what happened? The pointing was very desperate. I was just like, is my background on fire? Oh, wait, I'm not on webcam. What the hell could I have said?
No, I was just pointing at Haley because I was like, oh man, it's Haley's time to shine.
Okay. It was excited moment. Pointing and not desperate pointing. Yes. Anyway, hi, yes. Haley. Welcome back.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Elle was making fun of me for being really knee deep into my phone right before this segment, but I was
very, very amused, and it brought a big smile to my face. The amount of laughter I got. I told you I have a bunch of those pictures. I'm gonna get you every time I see you. Every time I see you checking out to look into your phone for a while, you're gonna get one of them.
But for those of you who have been following the Arizona abortion saga, The House is in session today to again consider, repealing the territorial ban. This has been a 3-week thing because the Republicans have the majority, and it's basically just been a bunch of procedural drama. But as of right now, the people that a lot of us saw probably viral praying and speaking in tongues are back, and the legislator who brought them, State Senator Anthony Kern, is currently leading them in another prayer in the chamber, so the gallery. So that's cool.
Is he dancing around with the snake and stuff? Is it like an old
there
school
is no
revival
snake.
Or
I don't
shit?
Think that Aww. Would get through the checkpoint. But
that's a bummer.
Yeah, they're back, so that's cool. Who is there? I also see some Turning Point USA people, which is what we'll be talking about today. So, for those of you who were following the story of the two Turning Point USA affiliates who gay-bashed a professor, a queer professor at Arizona State University, they were charged back when it happened with like assault and harassment. They have admitted guilt and are now, they have to complete court-ordered diversion programs before April of next year. So that's their punishment for stalking and then violently pushing down a professor and cracking his head open. They have not lost their jobs from Turning Point USA because it's a hate group and they suck and they are headquartered here. Thank you, Charlie Kirk. In other Turning Point news, the actual new news, we have multiple Turning Point USA / Turning Point Action like workers and leads who are also lawmakers here. One is Jake Hoffman, who kind of infamously got like banned from social media platforms because he was operating a troll farm on behalf of Turning Point USA to like spread election lies. He works with Turning Point USA. And Austin Smith, he is a representative here. He works with Turning Point Action. He's one of the leads with Turning Point Action. And obviously, Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action have been some of the lead voices in the, election denialist movement that we've been suffering from. Just a bunch of lies about elections, bunch of lies about fraud. Well, Mr. Austin Smith was, he faced a challenge for his upcoming election, the signatures that he gathered, because it appears that he forged over 100 of them. And so there was a legal challenge to the signatures, and he dropped out of his race. So he dropped out of his race, and also he resigned from Turning Point Action. He has not resigned from the Arizona House, but he did put out a statement that he just got married literally this last weekend to some other Turning Point Action person. And he said that he just didn't have the time and money to take on these legal challenges, which is horse shit, because Turning Point USA is like a massive organization, conservative grift organization, and they fund a lot of like legal challenges and shit here. And two people signed affidavits that said they did not sign his petition, and their names appeared on the ballot, so he's possibly fucked. And that is funny. Unfortunately, he hasn't resigned from the House yet because they would basically lose. Then it would be half and half. They have a really slim majority. The House,
a one seat majority by what you just said.
Yeah. So, yeah. On both the House and the Senate. So they don't want to lose. They don't want to lose a guy, but he should resign and people should demand he should resign. The signature is so funny too. I'm not like one of those people that is like doing handwriting analysis on the timeline and like, you know, doing like shoe analysis to pinpoint Marjorie Taylor Greene as the bomber or whatever type shit. But this was so obviously the same signature because the M's were so unique. They were like, they look like two A's kind of next to each other. And, like, multiple signatures had that. It was very obviously the same signature. So Austin Smith possibly fucked. Also, if I think he's found guilty, he can't run for quite a few years anyway. Also, turning point, I'm surprised they like had him resign, because they let like absolute filth fascist fucks work for them.
Is Candace Owens still turning point?
Yeah,
no?
Yeah. Right after she got the boot from Daily Wire, literally that day, Turning Point USA put out like a post about, you know, like how they were backing Candace. And then they announced that she was like a keynote speaker at their upcoming women's conference. Like, she's still totally affiliated. They've been, leaning into her
being a Nazi.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that that's Turning Point standards. Perhaps some impropriety with ballot signatures, immediate dismissal. Praising Hitler, keynote speaker. So that's rock solid. Way to go.
I love
Thank
that.
Thank you, Charlie
them,
Kirk.
Being Nazis.
Yeah.
That's so them.
Yes.
Anyway, breaking Bush news that I'm sure that Mike hopefully thought that I forgot about, and I almost did, but then I reread my notes and I was like, damn, I'm good at remembering stuff because I have notes. And that is to say, apparently Katy Perry has released a photo with a Cybertruck. And when this breaking Bush news appeared at the top of the show, Mike seemed incredibly whelmed by it. Haley, on the other hand, lit up like a Christmas tree. So I wanted to give Haley a chance to tell me what the fuck is going on with the Katy Perry Cybertruck fiasco.
She just posted. I just thought it was funny. I'm going to do
are
a
you just
rare.
Amused by the fact that there are two things that are just like, you know, obviously not having the best moment in their careers currently.
Yeah, it was like she was posing very pretty. I think she thought she was doing something in this by like being like, I got, thank you, Elon, hashtag like my idol. And it's like, lady, he's a Nazi. He's literally a fascist fuck. What are you doing?
Hashtag, especially, please remember that Katy Perry exists.
Yeah.
Katy
and,
Perry.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan. There's this music video that she has that she filmed on a military base that is just like the cheesiest, most, it's a bit much for my taste.
Look, Katy Perry is clearly beautiful and talented.
Yeah, she's very hot. She's very attractive. She's talented. Yeah. She can make music. Snap, snap, snap.
Wonderful.
I'm not a fan of any of it, and I'm especially not a fan of that music video. And I love that, like, it's like, lady, turn on the internet before maybe you do, like, a I love Elon post. And I love Cybertruck, which literally just got recalled. Just, in general, very funny. The best post that I saw was a quote tweeting. It was said, like, imagine marrying Russell Brand not being the most embarrassing thing you've ever done. Which I agree. It, you know, don't do that. Don't support Elon. He's a Nazi.
Also, to be fair to Katy, that was back when, you know, she was at a time in her life where she probably needed like some just like grimy pipe work done in her life, and that's why she went that route. Then she corrected herself pretty quickly, you know. I just want Katy Perry to transition into, you know, just like daytime TV, like a lot of these people do when they're
she'll
kind
have
of at,
one. She'll
at the,
have
at the
a...
end of their careers.
Katy.
It's just like, yeah, just go to, just, you know, it was fine.
It'll
you
be insufferable.
Run.
Have any of you guys seen a Cybertruck in the wild?
No, we live where liberal people are. Like,
yeah, I've seen three in the wild because I take a picture every time I see one, and they get dirty easily because I can see all the handprints on it, especially around where the door is. It's just like you can see every handprint. So that's my first complaint as far as it being dog shit ugly.
Yeah, it somehow looks uglier than its inspiration, the DeLorean, which is like a notoriously ugly fucking car. But it's got like, it really goes to show that there's something about a car that is ugly but has a charm to it versus a car that's just ugly because it looks like it's underbaked.
It's funny that you guys haven't seen one, and I have to live in Arizona, where apparently they're more relevant.
Well, it is funny that you have to live in Arizona. You know, I often think that that's well.
I just assumed everybody had seen one by now.
Yeah, I will. Well, there's a Tesla like dealership near my house, and I will like make a pilgrimage around there, like on my weekend here, to just see if I can spot one in the wild at their and their parking lot.
That's cheating. That's like going to the BMW dealership or the fucking Volkswagen, whichever one it is, Volkswagen. You'll punch buggy. You know, you're just like tracking it down. That's cheating.
Well, the only reason why I want to see it is because people have told me that, like, no matter how ugly you think it is, it's just worse in real life. Actually laying eyes on the thing, you're just like, oh my god, it's hideous.
I guess, but I bet if I told you that cow shit smelled worse than you could possibly imagine if you were right up close to it, you wouldn't be driving to a farm, you know? I'm just saying. This is a size effort, you Elon bootlegs.
That's not even remotely true, because I go to Richardson's all the time in the summer when it is incredibly fragrant because they've got the cows on site.
Mike, you have to give me for the credit for the fact that I went with cow shit for the listener, and I literally could have picked any other animal shit, and I know it would have played for you, but it would have played less good for them. You
fair,
fuck.
Fair.
All right. Let's move on to cues in the news.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Q's in the news.
Okay, we're chopping this up for reasons that should be obvious to anybody that doesn't want to hear us talk about Donald Trump for a full like 45 minutes in a row or however long we're going to be talking about the news segment this week. So in news segment number one, self-immolator, I hardly know her. Some weird fucking guy, I guess, decided to light himself on fire outside of Trump's trial. The most surprising news to me, I thought that was exclusively a liberal thing. Like, I every time I've ever heard of somebody doing that, it was like the last time it was the guy protesting, for Palestine. And then usually it's like monks and shit, you know? It's like fucking, like, I was just like, whoa, this is a right-wing playbook thing too? So Mike, what's going on with our right-wing buddy who decided to light himself on fire for Trump?
Well, this guy was an Illuminati believer. This guy was a full-blown...
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff, baby. We're in it now.
Yeah, this guy was there are no heroes kind of guy. Like, he threw a sign or signs before he set himself on fire. And the important sign of that he had was that Biden and Trump are working together to stage a coup against America. He was very much adamant about the fact that everyone who's doing anything is super bad and evil, and they're all working to destroy us. He posted on Substack, and he's like, "Hi, this is me. I'm the guy who just set myself on fire." And so on his Substack, that where he like literally had that as the title of his article, it went into a lot of detail about how, oh, you know, all the standard shit about how we're controlled by the banks and the world and it's all evil. And
he's had enough of the world and its people's mindless games.
Yeah.
Hey, like that reference. Hey, like that reference. Whoever got it, throw that one out there for you. Enjoy that one. Tasty. Sorry, Mike. Back to you.
No problem. And the big thing I took away from this fucking schizophrenic like rambling of this guy was he went deep into a section about the Simpsons and about how the Simpsons are predictive programming and how the episode Lisa the Iconoclast was like proof of how these bad people put their message into the world for it to be absorbed and distributed. And that like he was just like fucking into that stuff.
I saw Life is No Comics on his Instagram. Which is pre-Simpsons.
Right. Yeah, he went into that. He was like, Matt Groening made Life is Hell. Why would he have done that and then become the leader of the Simpsons, the maker of the Simpsons, if he wasn't like in on the plot to show us all how we are doomed? And it was
money.
Just like, yes.
It was money. It was money killed the beast, you know? Obviously, it was money. I got cut off previously, but yeah, like that's a great pick. Like if you're good at conspiracy theory or something, a huge pop culture juggernaut like The Simpsons, where there's like a bunch of examples that you can point to of them like quote unquote predicting the future. That is a solid pick for you to have a wild conspiracy theory meltdown about. I'm not implying that anybody go flaming Moe's themselves in front of the fucking courthouse or anything, but like if you're going to be a wackadoo, my friends and I, like back in the day, used to have drunken talks about the apocalypse and shit, and I was just like, yeah, my plan is to form a religion around Harry Potter, because you just, you know, there's a bunch of literature you can point to and just like you can really massage that, and in the post-apocalypse we're going to be a weird death cult surrounded by Harry Potter, because I've got the books, y'all. Well, I don't now, but I can get them.
You can find them at any thrift store.
Or in the home of any white woman of a certain age.
Yeah, and the Simpsons predicting the future is a subculture. There is a large quantity of conspiracy theorists who do believe in that stuff. Like, I saw after the Baltimore Bridge incident, some people made some bullshit AI art pretending like the Simpsons predicted that.
Oh, I saw that too.
And then they posted it on Twitter. They're like, how did they know? And it's like, because they didn't. You're fucking lying. Like, this isn't real. You made that up.
Gee, I don't know about crashing this barge into a bridge, Homer. No. I never tried to impersonate Simpsons characters, and I wasn't willing to try for the first time on air, so that was my dramatic rendition. It's a table read.
The word table read just broke me. I don't know why. It was fucking perfect.
Mike, sorry, question. Yes. I saw a lot of debate back and forth, because Elle said at the beginning if whether he was right-wing or left-wing, and what was your interpretation of that?
He was just Illuminati. And the thing is about the Illuminati, and the reason why it is, it never reached the heights of QAnon. It never achieved any sort of real traction in American pop culture, is that Illuminati is very apolitical, because we're just fucked. That's basically the whole point of Illuminati, is just everyone's rich, everyone's famous, everyone's powerful, because they're part of the in-group of the Illuminati, and you are a working-day Joe because you're not. And that's just it.
Okay, well, as the podcast's closest thing to a tether to real reality, like as the mouthpiece of the regular person,
mm-hmm.
I was here to tell you that the Illuminati is not apolitical. That, like, the perception is that strictly a right-wing conservative lunacy thing. That level of conspiracy theory is not a thing that your average Joe, like me, associates in any way with left-wing politics. It's all right-wing all the way down if you believe in that shit, baby. Like, that's just the way it is perceived by normal people.
Because I did see actually like a couple so-called like anti-capitalist accounts kind of post about him positively, because I think they read some of his stuff in that way.
Like left-wing, left-wing crazy stuff is like doesn't usually involve like a manifesto. You know what I mean? Like there are things out of this playbook that, like, when you read about them in headlines or read some articles, because this managed to float across my, like, when I read into this guy, like, for the whole time I was ever just like, I don't know about this guy who could go either way on his politics. He fucking lit himself on fire outside of Donald Trump's trial, left a manifesto ranting
about the
Illuminati.
There was a lot about crypto, right?
Oh yeah, crypto's a massive scam, and that's another way that the Illuminati are using to steal all our wealth. That they're just like getting us to put money in crypto, then they're just going to rug pull. He just thinks crypto's just one big rug pull waiting to happen, and it's all going to go away. They're going to steal all our money, which could be right. Crypto kind of sucks, I think.
Also, I think
crypto is kind of a scam. These people are frequently close to seeing some sort of truth.
That's interesting that you just said that, because I think it's interesting that Instagram still has his profile up. Usually those get taken down, you know, and kind of like, I don't know, like if someone's a mass shooter, their profile gets yeeted pretty quickly. But this guy's profile's still up, and I've seen a lot of people idolizing him in the comments and kind of, saying he's speaking truth to power, basically, on some of the stuff, which is it's a little alarming.
All of those people are getting clap, monitored clap by the FBI. You're all getting monitored, baby. The only reason
this is not my opinion of any of this. It's monitor, just I do clap, think it's interesting that they left it up.
Baby, you get monitored by the feds, you fucking morons. Remember when the Silk Road went down, clap, and then it came back up, clap, get monitored, clap by the FBI, baby. Sorry, these people are so fucking dumb. Like, oh, I love the shit you're talking. Like, I love the sort of stuff you're talking about. We should mobilize. Yeah, okay, get ready for the fucking people to be knocking at your door, bud. So stupid. Sorry.
Yeah. I just think that like this shit is something where people look at it from an apolitical eye in the sense that like they just see the person hates everybody, and that's like, that was like the con that Alex Jones ran for a long time, where a lot of liberals were like, oh my god, this guy's right about 9/11, and it's because no, he's not right about 9/11. You're just mad at the Bush people, and that's why you like Alex Jones, because he's telling you Bush is shit because he did 9/11. But the only reason why Alex Jones hates Bush is because he's not right wing enough. He's not nearly as big a nut as right wing extremists want him to be. So, like, in their world, Bush is a cuck liberal. I mean,
and so is Alex now for not liking Hitler.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. I forgot about that. That was fucking great. It was so fucking funny. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Finding out that your audience is pure Nazis now. Like, way to go. It's
nothing
idiot.
But Nazis.
Yeah. And for the record, I don't think that you're wrong. I'm sure that a lot of these people believe that they're being apolitical, but my position is that to the average Joe, that sort of ranting and raving in a manifesto about Bill Clinton being a member of the Illuminati makes you look pretty much like a right-wing lunatic. So
no, yeah, I think the normie perspective is interesting, because I do like to know what kind of just like a guy would think of this incident.
For the record, like I also forget that Mike has enhanced empathy for people, and probably you do as well. Enhanced empathy for people that get hoodwinked by cults.
Yes,
I have reduced empathy for those people relative to you guys. So
I was raised a Jehovah's Witness also.
No, I feel you. Like we've all got our own shit, and you know, like that's just the way it is. And I try to rise to your level of empathy versus trying to drag you guys down to my levels, because
I like your levels sometimes.
But yeah, I do want to offer my perspective when I think it's like important. And in this case, it is partially to defend myself, because it was so obvious to me, like in my mind, in my world, that he was a right wing crazy person, that I brought it up at the top of my lead into the story. It wasn't until Haley mentioned that there may be that might be contentious that I thought for a moment that there was a slant on it that wasn't my own. You know what I mean? It was so weird. Like, I was just like, oh shit, I guess I should sort of get it there and just like defend my position on this, because I did come at it pretty hot.
Love normal guy perspective.
And I'm just a normal guy, you know, I'm just a regular Joe. Hey, forget about it, etc.
Oh, he's just a small bean. Small bean hill. It's his birthday.
And as much as I'd like to continue exploring the ways in which I am great and also deficient, it's important for us to move on for both our time and the audience's time. So let's talk about the QAnon promoter who's on the lam on this week's episode of Cops. We're trying to get a QAnon guy, I guess. So what's going on with this one, Mike?
Okay, so our hero in this case is William Guy Emick. The third.
His name is Guy.
And his middle name is Guy.
That's awesome.
He's Guy. Yeah. And he is an incredibly gaunt, dark-haired man. And our boy here is charged with 13 counts of child sexual abuse. Good job, moron. Shocking that the QAnon community would have been harboring a pedophile.
I'm over here. I'm practically apoplectic with surprise over here.
Yes. Yeah. This guy was known for a long time online as I the Spy or E's Your Friend. He was a hardcore LARPing QAnon person who pretended to be like a secret agent who was doing crazy missions. A lot of QAnon promoters hated him because he was such an aggressive LARPing asshole. One person even debunked one of his videos and showed how it was like just literally a golf country club that he went to and not some secret establishment. And our buddy Emick here just ignored that and just kept rolling through that he was truly a secret agent superhero fighting the deep state and saving the world alongside Donald Trump and Q. And now he's on the run for being a pederast, which, again, knocked me over with a feather. So weird that these people would end up turning out this way.
Were you familiar with this guy before he got popped?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I have numerous... I bet if you do a word search on my Twitter feed for the words like exposed fraud or just like confirmed fraud, you'd probably get a ton of hits about me talking about this guy, because his act was just like, ooh, I'm saving the world. Ooh, I'm on an adventure. Ooh, just took down some more bad guys, helping out the Q team and Trump. And he was, do you know the real dark judge or the real dark judges? Do you know that account, Haley?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, there's like this like dumb LARP account where they're just like, these bad people have been executed. Like, they basically pretend like they're like the criminal tribune. They pretend to be like the leaders of the military tribunals executing all their enemies. Basically, E was a variant of that. He was like one of these guys that was like, I'm part of Q Team and I'm a globetrotter and I'm running around saving the world from all the bad people that are doing the bad things. And all the rank and file regular grifters in QAnon were like, dude, fucking dial it down a bunch because you're making us look bad. Like, fucking cut the shit. And he wouldn't. He would not cut the shit. It was great. And I'm trying to remember, but I think this guy was like tied to Jim Watkins. I think Jim was like one of the only big QAnon promoters that wouldn't.
I mean, legally, we might not be able to prove it, but I can think of at least one way I'm willing to bet that this person and Jim Watkins are similar, at the very least.
They're QAnon promoters. That's the one way Elle was thinking, for legal reasons.
Yeah, they both use Tor browser for no reason.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, this story broke a few days ago. There's been no updates about him being captured yet. So he is currently on the run. And, if you see a really scrawny guy with dark hair, just call the cops.
He's so here. Where's he originally from? Safe than,
I believe Minnesota.
But he's in Arizona. Everyone flees to Arizona.
His whereabouts, ellipsis, are unknown. A BCA statement read, he may or may not still be in Minnesota, is the article from the Star Tribune.
Missing presumed Arizonan.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully they catch this fucking piece of shit, and then, you know, they can
convict
him
road.
And put him in prison and then do
let's
stuff.
Let's hit the road and find him.
Yeah,
dude, vigilante justice.
Yeah, we're gonna buddy cop this. That's gonna be our bonus content.
I can be your guy in the chair, except I disavow everything that you would do because I don't want to go to prison.
I'm but not gonna you guys do anything. Go we're just gonna find who he is. We're gonna see him. We're gonna go at the end and be like, there he is.
You're too punk rock to not want to go after him with a bike chain if you saw him. Get the fuck out of here. I know your deal. You're not fooling anybody. So you might be able to fool other people, but not me. I know you've got a punk rock heart. Anyway,
I'm just imagining Haley like saying, "There he is," and she calls 911, and like the cops are like, "We'll be there in 5 minutes." She's like, "Not good enough." She just runs out, rocking a sock, just domes the guy. Poof! There we go. Now I'm sure you won't get away in those 5 minutes before the cops show up.
Just like 5 bars of soap, tube sock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, Bruce is in with the benefit of living like a springtime fresh scent. You know,
yep.
Yep.
Okay, now stop distracting me. I'm trying to transition to our unfortunate having to discuss Donald Trump. Because, of course, our dear former president is finally on fucking trial in front of a fucking judge. He has to sit there and just take his lumps like a stupid bitch. And he has to complain about it like a stupid idiot, moron, dumb fuck, who I hate so much. But it's so great to see him just get his ass paddled day in and day out in court for the past week. My goodness. And, of course, we have to talk about it. And we will. So, Mike, let's get right down to fucking brass tacks. How goes that Trump trial, baby? Well, I guess, and for the listener who might be living under a rock in a cave, which crime is he on trial for this time?
Okay, so this trial is for the Stormy Daniels hush money payment / election interference. And we finally seated the jury. We had opening statements by both attorneys. Trump's defense decided to take the very interesting, and by interesting, I mean bizarre and fucked up, tactic of saying that these crimes happened before COVID, which I wasn't aware was a legal line of demarcation.
Where what does like that
any
mean?
Crime, I don't know, but like literally, his lead attorney, the Happa lady, when they were showing like that, when someone like was like tweet transcribing her statement to the jury, she was just like, these things that were alleged happened before COVID. And all the replies were like, why did she say that? What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Was that the Purge like, era? Did I miss it?
Right. The before COVID, you were allowed to pay off people with campaign funds to hide the fact that you were covering up damaging information about your campaign during a presidential election. It was only in the 2020 presidential campaign where that was made illegal. I don't know. It's so fucking weird. But that happened. So we had the opening statements. And then our boy Pecker, everyone's favorite aptly named man, the guy that ran the National Enquirer, and again, has an incredibly unfortunate surname, was then called as a witness to testify. And he stated that, yeah, I was basically working as an unofficial campaign surrogate for Trump during 2016. And whenever whenever Michael Cohen or the Trump campaign would call me up and tell me to write a flattering story about Trump or to knock down one of his enemies, I would do that. And so Pecker was the one who came up, who posted the articles about Ted Cruz's dad murdering JFK. He was the one saying that Hillary Clinton was about to drop dead from all of her horrible diseases. Just all everything. All the articles that were like about the 2016 campaign were basically planted by either Cohen or like people working for Trump to Pecker. And then Pecker would just run with it because that's what that was his job, again, as the unofficial press liaison of the Trump campaign. So that was
Mike, which juror are you?
What juror? I thought I was 7, but I think I'm 9 now. I think I'm juror number 9. So yes, we're gonna go with that.
Are you are you the one that gets your news from True Social?
No, but that, my God, what an awesome juror that would be! Holy smokes, I dream only of such a juror. Oh, that reminded me. Like you sent me that link where Charlie Kirk was like, "Is it moral to lie to get on the Trump jury to stop the?" Would Jesus condone it if you were to lie your way onto the Trump jury so you could hang the jury and keep him out of jail?
And then the next segment was, are AI girlfriends replacing real ones? I'm not even kidding.
I mean, God, we can only hope. No, just kidding. Where am I?
Yeah.
I love that there are people out there that for them that's their actual dream, but they like it's just like it's not how it is in fucking Weird Science, boys. Like right now, it would be like a fucking cold steel box with like a gel sleeve. It makes like a whirring sound while it operates you. You know, like calm down, brother. Like it's coming, but probably not in your lifetime.
It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like an orgasm.
That's how old After Dark, folks.
God damn it! We keep giving away our after dark content. Didn't some ding dong on Fox News just straight up describe the crime that Donald Trump is accused of doing, like while trying to defend him? Where it's just like, yeah. So he slept with a porn star, and then he asked her to sign an NDA, and he paid her some money to do it. What's the big deal? And the same afternoon that Donald Trump's legal team was just like, the following things are not at all what Donald Trump did. One, sleep with a sports star. Two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is basically the legal defense of Trump is that this whole thing is kind of like all of the things that happened were technically... I would assume that like paying somebody to sign an NDA and all that kind of stuff is all above board and legal. But the whole criminality here was that Trump, being just such a cheap bastard, used campaign funds to pay this whole thing off with Cohen, and then after they used funds from the Trump 2016 campaign to pay off Cohen, they then just cooked the books and was just like, paid Michael Cohen piles of money for expert advice about elections and parentheses, not covering up the fact that I fucked a porn star. And then we paid her off so she wouldn't go. She wouldn't tell anyone who wasn't the National Enquirer about our scheme to silence her so that she would not damage my chances of being the president. So like, that is the crux of the case. And so it's like, oh, so who doesn't cover up their sex, their sexual affair with a porn star? Who doesn't?
Might I remind you, it is not illegal to influence an election. Love that. Love that. Love that big time stressing, which is just like, it's technically true, like in like a general sense where you could be like, I would like to influence this election by professing that I support Donald J. Trump. You know what I mean? Like, that is fine. But like there is a limit to it, several legal limits, like the pen and stuff. It's very, it's super bizarre, but also really interesting to watch. Also, how we like it, those courtroom sketches, because no cameras inside for security reasons. So just an abundance of incredibly rendered Donald Trump courtroom sketches that I'm sure would fetch a pretty decent price were they to become available to purchase.
And the other thing about what we have in the courtroom is that we have very much documented evidence of Donald Trump constantly falling asleep at the trial, which is hilarious.
He's still just for that.
Let's think his powerful mind.
Yes. Oh, yeah. His incredibly powerful mind that needs a little rest every now and then because it's just firing on so many cylinders at all times. His high octane brain, it needs maintenance. It needs a little upkeep. He's a sleepy dude. And the other thing that we're being told about from less credible sources.
God, what if he died in court? That'd be so funny.
Oh my God, the conspiracies would not end. Oh man,
that'd be great.
Oh boy,
yeah.
He eventually has to die. And I just fantasize every day about the kooky scenarios that it could be.
Oh
wow, of all the things to fantasize about, my God.
No.
Yeah,
but I mean,
let that man live rent free in your head, Haley, please.
I mean, I don't think about him too much, but when I do think about him, I'm like, that would be funny when he dies.
I don't think about him too much, but when I do think about him, I come hard to say.
I just like to think about when he'll eventually die.
Sort of the thing is that content-wise, I'm also waiting, because when he does, it happens, it is going to be a content palooza for at least a little while. Because
I want shirts. I want every shirt. Oh my God, it's going to be so funny. Mike, we have to do a trip when it happens. That's the next. That's our next trip.
Our next trip is the Trump's funeral. Yeah. We have to go to DeSantis' hell. We have to go to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bury him in an unmarked grave next to his wife on the golf course. I mean, that'd be great.
He's gonna
with a bunch of documents.
He's gonna have an open service where you can view his body for months, you know. And we're gonna go see it.
Maybe he'll just Stalin himself permanently Lenin himself permanently there in Mar-a-Lago. That'd be great.
I'm really hoping that's what happens.
Dude, the line, it would be huge.
It would be. We could blend in really good in Florida, Mike. Me and you could do just kind of a Florida look, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody would recognize us.
No. Nope. No chance. Oh, man.
Give me a little time to tan up and I'd fit right in down there. I'm fucking white, out of shape, fucking overweight, and can definitely do a southern accent because I'm originally from the South. Yeah. I could blend in like a chameleon.
It's my favorite future vacation that we will be doing in the future.
I could probably chug a beer faster than most of them clowns. Dude, we used to party. It doesn't matter if you're little. Sometimes you got to chug a beer fast, dude.
So we do know that Trump is sleepy from credible sources. The argument that we are currently having is Trump smelly? Because apparently Democrat partisans have been claiming that Donald Trump is at the very least farting, if not shitting himself in the trial and generating a obnoxious amount of odor that is making his lawyer's jobs that much harder.
I hope he's doing it on purpose.
Oh yeah, just absolutely just eating massive quantities of Taco Bell before he gets his 3 hours of sleep.
Who are these reports coming from and where are they coming from? Like, I'm talking literally physically in the courtroom. Is this dude odious to the point where people in the back room, like sitting there, like fucking taking notes, are like, holy shit, this guy smells like actual Duke.
Basically, well, the thing is that someone who works with Midas Touch, the left wing like social media platform, content creators, and George Conway, who's another like evil liberal.
They work with Ron Flipikowski, who is a loser, yeah. Bitch.
Oh yeah,
for the all audience. These things. Haley proving my punk rock point super well for me. Just threw up the bird. She was like, "Fuck that guy." And she threw up a bird to nobody but me and Mike. She was like, "This is how much I hate that guy."
Yeah,
that guy.
He's funny. He's stolen some of my videos and also some of my friends' videos, and then he blocks us when we've called him out for it. He's a funny guy.
Oh yeah,
he makes
yeah.
good money though.
He's a huge grifter. He's absolutely working that like network. Midas Touch also a platform, Jim Stewartson at one point. So good job, you guys. You really know what you're doing when it comes to this kind of content. Big thumbs up. But yeah, so it was like these left-wing partisans who were saying, I've been hearing credible sources from inside the courtroom that, oh my God, does it sting? And then people are pushing back. And they're like, hey, we need better sources than you to know that Trump is a smelly baby. We're not willing to buy in just yet on these articles.
I bet he smells like baby powder.
If he just like doused himself, if he just had like a heavy baby powder mm-hmm. smell,
so,
cause he just,
yeah, I'm also sort of surprised by that because the reason I asked like where these people are reporting from is because you would have to be pretty flatulent for your farts alone to be odiously like creeping, like potently back to the rear of the courtroom consistently enough for people to be reporting on it. Like, it's just like, dude, this motherfucker smells bad. So like, I don't know, man, maybe all those funny diaper jokes aren't jokes after all. The guy is old. He is old and out of shape. Maybe our guy is pooping. Oh. Maybe our guy's pooping into a diaper.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm here for it. And for all the people that are pearl clutching and wanting more verification of Trump being smelly, we got an election to win. So fuck it. I'm all in on smelly Trump. Make him defend it. It's like the LBJ pig fucker story.
Yeah. Well, so. Hopefully none of our listeners will be like, man, they're punching down on Trump. But in case anybody out there is and are thinking we're playing like dirty pool, I mean, again, like he's like an alleged billionaire, fucking like he's like an untouchable. Like you can't really punch down to the guy.
You want me to punch down? I can't wait for him to die. That's me punching down
again. Whoa! I don't know about that. I mean,
in a peaceful way in his death, not peacefully in his sleep.
A peaceful way in his death. Yeah,
You can't
even wish his death to be peaceful without you like reiterating the dead part. All right, enough of that horse shit. It's time for us to jump into our favorite part of every episode, the part where we get to engage with our precious listeners who we love so much and who I never make fun of during this segment. I promise it's never happened once in our life. It's time for our listener mailbag.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Our listeners got questions, we got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Yeah, it's funny, in the downtime between last week's episode and this week's episode, like I generally don't think much about the pod in between recordings, but when I was this week, I was just like, Oh, there have been a fair handful of times recently where we've gotten one of these questions that I've just been like, hey, fuck you, buddy. And then I answer the question. I do answer the question, but I'm like, fuck you. So I'm going to try not to get mad and or aggro at our listeners this week. I'll try.
Well, we got a ton of questions this week, so apparently hating our listeners has only inspired them to earn your score.
Never mind. Get ready for get ready for my fucking boot.
Got a bunch of listeners who like to be yelled at.
Eric the Deep State Operative says, what do you think people are getting out of QAnon? Not the grifters or the influencers. I mean the jamokes, the grifties, if you will.
Community.
A community is a big part of it. Also, understanding of the world.
Yep.
It's a religion. Bingo. Like earthquakes and mass shootings and all that shit are scary and chaotic. And when you turn that chaos into order, where it's a weather weapon that made the earthquake happen, or it's an MK Ultra sleeper agent who was activated by the deep state so they could steal your guns, when you put a reason behind things that don't have reasons, it makes people feel comfortable and better about what's going on in the world.
Sometimes the earth is just really random and scary, and it's hard to deal with. And you just have to do that and not fall into conspiracy cults to make sense of the world. But unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah. Like, I remember one QAnon conspiracy bullshitter, Julian Thrum, who's like always like flickering in and out of reality every so often. Like, one week a long time ago, a lot of crazy shit was happening. And he made a tweet where he was just like, man, I don't know what I'd be doing this week if it wasn't for QAnon. And it was just like getting hit with all these crazy news stories, like tsunami just devastated this community, mass shooting over here, like fucking all kinds of bullshit going on over there. And he was just like, man, like that would have really like just rattled my cage before QAnon. But now that I know this is all just part of like the battle between the deep state and the patriots, it just makes everything so much easier, so much like smoother for me to digest it all. And I really think that's like, as terrible as all of this shit is, it's incredibly comforting to these people. Like, it's reassuring. And in the end, they're going to win. Trump's going to kill all the bad guys and save the world. And that's why they're in. That's why they invest in it.
And all their enemies are gone. And then they have paradise. Doesn't that sound beautiful to, you know, to some?
Oh, I mean, that's the hard end of this shit is that after we kill all the liberals, we'll find all the secret technology they've been hiding from us, and we're going to have free energy, med beds, we're going to get the trillions of dollars of illicitly gained Rothschild wealth and socialistically distributed capitalistically to the people of the world and end poverty, like all that shit. Like, it's like fucking utopia. So,
there we go. Sorry, I didn't have much more to add besides community. You guys covered the rest.
Yeah, but community is a huge part of it. So L's one word did a lot of work. Old Nick Watkins asks, I used to be one of those guys who cared very much about his UCI, I think you mean DCI rating, in Magic the Gathering. I even once paid a guy to take an L while he was beating me in a tournament. What's the most ridiculous thing you've ever done or witnessed in a card tournament or other event if you don't play?
I'm gonna kind of cheat on this one just because it was something that I was gonna mention earlier, but like I couldn't find a great place for it. And mm-hmm. It's certainly, first of all, it is a poker tournament and not a Magic card tournament, which is what the spirit of the question is. And I apologize, my tournament scene stuff has been pretty boring in terms of what I've been there before. So that poker tournament, Mike might remember the exact one, but there was one tournament where a guy got kicked out or was about to get kicked out for being stinky, really stinky. And when they confronted him about it, he had like a full on meltdown where he kept screaming, show me in the rule book where it says about smelling. And I'll always remember that poker moment. Like, it's when I think of poker, if I think about it for more than like a few moments, I will inevitably come to that guy flipping out and saying, show me the rule book where it says about smelling. And that does cross over to general Magic tournament stuff. Like, obviously, TCG tournaments are notoriously stinky, just like Super Smash Brothers tournaments. So, I would say that guy losing his mind and screaming, show me in the rule book where it says about smelling, is probably one of the greatest moments I've ever seen of somebody losing their mind.
Yeah. Oh, God. I had a few Magic the Gathering events. Many of the insider catchphrases that me and Elle use with each other come from crazy things that have happened at Magic the Gathering tournaments. The term "fight me right now" came from a guy freaking out at a Magic tournament. That was great. There were these tournaments where small children would, it was basically age cutoff. It's like basically 12 and under got to play against each other, and all the older kids who knew how to play Magic better didn't get to beat them up. And the little kids would get very like crazy when their creatures would fight each other. And so you attack with a creature, and then the other player declares that they're blocking with a creature. And these little kids would just yell, "Block dead!" And it's like, no, I can play tricks. There's like things I can do to make my creature win the fight over your creature. But these little kids would just like so quickly declare that they'd won the combat immediately, be like, "Block dead!" And it eventually got mistranslated to "blot dead." And this was a phrase that like me and a bunch of people that were around me would use to describe small children getting very excited at Magic the Gathering. And so that was another thing that we enjoyed talking about. My favorite incident that involved me was I was playing Lord of the Rings, when it was a short-lived card game. And my opponent was doing your deck was two decks built into one. You had the Fellowship, there were the good guys, and then you had like the Minions of Sauron, whatever like evil group you were using as your Sauron based faction. And your Fellowship had to run the ring to the end of the line to win the game. And your bad guy faction was trying to kill the ring bearer and steal the ring, and you could win the game that way. And my opponent was having a terrible time drawing Fellowship. He had like Gandalf and like Pippin and like fucking nobody else really helping out Frodo. And I was just watching the veins bulge in his forehead as he was getting like fucked over more and more. And he finally moved into the zone where like my deck, which was like the Moria orcs, it was like a fast swarm deck that was designed to overrun the ring bearer and kill him. And when you don't have a lot of Fellowship, my deck was just like perfectly designed to destroy that deck. And so he moves to the bad spot, and suddenly I have like five goblins mauling Frodo. And the guy looks at his hand, acknowledges that he lost, scoops up his cards and goes, "Great game. A monkey could have done that." And then he stormed off all frustrated. And it was just like, "Sorry, man. Sorry, your deck betrayed you. But I did win. And I'm sorry."
Haley, do you have any tournament card gaming experience?
No.
Are you sure you don't want to jump in there? Come on, get in there.
I don't. All
right.
Next question.
Thank you for the question, listener.
Cleodor Silvestri, the Hellworld Grand Inquisitor, asks, imagine you've been given the budget and creative freedom to resurrect a dead franchise of your choice as a TV series, either live action or animated. What show do you bring back gloriously?
This is one of those questions that, like, I feel like a franchise, I think, is what they said, right? Not necessarily
a dead franchise, yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't even need to have necessarily started as a show. It could just be brought back in show form. So say you were a big fan of Pogs, since we were talking about this earlier, and you wanted to bring Pogs back, but not in Pog form. You could do Pogs the animated television show. That'd be a terrible one, though, because they're just discs.
You could make it like Yu-Gi-Oh! You activated my trap Pog! And like, no!
This is one of those questions that sort of like would require like deeper thinking to come up with like a great answer, but
are there dead franchises anymore? I thought all we did was regurgitate the same old bullshit over and over again.
Well, a franchise that hasn't been around for a while.
Or like dormant.
My answer
right now is going to be Thundercats.
I saw a goddamn commercial for a fucking Bad Boys sequel when I went to go see Civil War, and I was like, who asked for this? What is this? There was a sequel for The Quiet Place. I was like, does this need a sequel?
It's actually a prequel to The Quiet Place. So that you can find out why the place is so quiet. You know, if you can't wait for that first movie being like, yeah, but why did it get so dang quiet? Like, they're going to show you that. Yeah, my answer is Thundercats. The last Thundercats reboot we got was fucking Thundercats Roar, which was like Cheetos brand flaming hot garbage. It was like they tried to Teen Titans My Precious Thundercats. But like, the thing is that Teen Titans was a comic book for people like, you know, I would recognize from my youth, you know, like a late 80s, early 90s, right? But then they rebooted it as a cartoon for children first, and then made the gap to Teen Titans Go. Thundercats, again, starting out the same way, a property some of my age will remember from when I was, like, in that pocket. But then they tried to reboot it a couple of times and nobody gave a fuck ever, and it did not succeed. And they were like, you know what we're going to do? Now that nobody really cares about it, we're going to make it like Teen Titans Go, but only for people who are in their early to mid-30s already. And it's just like, who the fuck? Like, pull the people. Like, nobody that is 32 wanted that. Shut up. Get it out of here. Like, me person who was, like, 35 or, like, COVID makes time dilation a thing. Let's say I was in my early 30s when they announced that. Yeah, hey, go fuck yourself, buddy. That's not what I want out of my Thundercats reboot. Do it. It doesn't have to be super-duper serial, but it does have to be serial enough where I'm, like, where it doesn't seem like we're just making it for a goof. Like, I want, like, an overarching story, like an 80s-style weird sci-fi fantasy story about cat people. Thank you very much. The reboot they tried, like, 2008 or whatever, was pretty close to what I wanted, you know? Like, the one, but it got too anime after a few episodes. But, like, the first had a good spirit to it. Yeah, it was a good attempt. But, like, then they were just like, yeah, then the mech suits. And it was like, no, no mech suits.
I asked for Thundercats, not fucking Gundam. What the fuck is this shit? Like, what are we doing?
Anyway, that's my portion over.
Yeah. Since it feels like they're constantly just fucking dicking us around about actually rebooting it, I'm just going to reboot Babylon 5. I'm just going to do this. Just bringing it back. Just J. Michael Straczynski, you get the budget, you get to do it, and we're doing it. And however you want to make it, I trust you. I trust your vision. I love that show. I keep hearing about how we're going to get Sexy Babylon 5 on Warner Brothers Network or the WB any day now. And then it never happens. So let's just do that. Let's just get Babylon 5 back in circulation. So, Haley, back to you.
I got nothing. So I'll just say bring back Firefly is what I'm saying.
Hey, here we go. That's a perfectly prevalent answer. Are you a Firefly fan?
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's fine.
But you'd be more doing it for the culture? Like, you'd be helping out your people?
I'm just doing it because I can't think of an answer, so I'm throwing that one to the people. There you go.
How would you feel about using your magic genie production wish to get a show off the ground about conspiracy theories regarding the existence of horses?
I would get into it.
Your favorite zine come to life. You've got production genie powers.
That would be cool.
You can get Riker to host it. Like, what was it called? Like Beyond Factor Fiction.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would watch that.
Oh God, we made it up.
Yeah, and that could just be it. Okay, he could just show the audience a picture of a horse and just be like, "Is this horse real?" And then give you some time to think about it, and it just be like, "We made it up." Or we got you. Not this time. That was fiction.
It doesn't exist.
Greatest show ever.
Yes. Oh my God, we're there. Let's make a script.
Eric Andre, I swear to God, if you're listening and you make that horse sketch, I'm going to wring your neck.
Pancake Peasant asks, new Taylor album dropped. Babes, any QAnon reviews? Babes. Please share your non-QAnon reviews too. I haven't listened to any T-Swizzle albums. I have heard her music. The only thing I've seen was someone declaring Taylor Swift's new album was very unchristian because there were some naughty words in there.
I saw that.
There were some other lyrics that were blasphemous. So someone was trying to get on Taylor for not being one with the Lord. So
that's a guy that got booted from Turning Point USA. It's funny because Turning Point USA folks like Charlie Kirk and Jack Posobiec are very anti-Taylor Swift because they're all like, what's going on? Why is she so famous? Something must be going on, you know, Illuminati type thing. Like she's being pushed by Big Woke. But like the women of Turning Point USA absolutely fucking love Taylor Swift and can never, ever, ever, ever stop talking about her and her music and everything that she does. in all their shows and podcasts. So that's where I get most of my information on Taylor Swift, even though I've only heard songs in like the supermarket. I don't know any of the songs in this new one. I'm not really a fan of this type of music. I'm sorry, people. I know that this is probably pissing off like a lot of people. I don't mean it in a rude way. It's just not my shit. I do think it's funny that the Turning Point USA people are big fans of the Taylor Swift music, and actually there's this like kind of bullshit women's magazine that I subscribe to, Evie magazine. It's actually like ran by Peter Thiel, and it has these articles that are always like 15 reasons why you should stop taking birth control, or like 10 reasons why your man should be the boss in the relationship. It's just like shit that's clearly not shit you would see in a women's magazine for normal people.
It's just the Bible as a magazine to try to fucking con you into Christian bullshit.
It's like why you should use beef tallow on your face and drink raw milk, like that kind of shit. I'm not even kidding. That's an article. So,
oh my god,
there was one.
I don't know though. If you switch that over to beef tallow for French fries and raw milk, I might be interested in reading your article. That sounds pretty nice. that was what made McDonald's fries so good. If I could fry that shit in beef tallow.
They reviewed the Taylor Swift album, and it was a Turning Point USA woman that did it, and she was a big fan of it. So it's probably not my shit. Is just what I'm saying. It's just not my type of music. I'm not really into the pop thing. Generic.
Oh, yeah. My only opinion about Taylor Swift is that if she really wanted to do the world a favor, she would go fucking out of her way to admonish her fans for being pieces of shit all the time. But she doesn't, because she's chasing that bag. And I guess I'm not supposed to blame her for that, but I will, because I hate the way that people enjoy her stuff. It's not her fault, I guess.
Us not being a fan might get us canceled by some Swifties, and maybe our numbers will go up a little bit.
Fuck it. Come at me, bro. I don't give a fuck. Like, she seems perfectly fine. And she's fucking aging, like, wide. Like, I never thought she was that attractive until recently. And now that she's, like, you know, fucking, like, out there, like, during her Eras tour or whatever, I was like, for the first time I saw pictures of Taylor Swift, and I was like, oh, wow, Taylor Swift is actually pretty attractive. Like, which is super funny, because, like, she's been famous forever. And I've just been like, eh, I don't know, I just don't really see it. And then recently, it was just like, oh,
everybody
so good.
Everybody gets taken eventually, is what I'm learning.
Okay, so thank you for the question. Amanda Scatlin asks, according to QMom, the Cabal has 6,000 patents hidden from us. One of them, according to her, is a wormhole that teleports people through space. What is an example of other patents we don't know about?
What's the water-powered car, obviously. That's the classic, dude.
Medbed?
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Yep. Medbed. Perfect.
The moment Haley said medbed, like, after Elle said water-backed car, immediately I was like, Family Feud. And Jules was like, bing! Number one answer! Number two answer! It's like, he's like, show me potato salad! I was just like right there. I was like, oh my god.
Oh, dude, space like laser that... parenthesis Jewish?
Yeah, exactly. God. Oh, if only the...
That's where the opposition... The good guys would probably have space laser parenthesis Christian. Oh! Space laser for the Lord.
Screw you, Riverside, for not having the Family Feud Bing as one of your default soundboard drops. So I can immediately just put that in there.
Earthquake machine.
The pill to cure cancer. The pill that we have the cure to cancer. That's...
Yeah. Oh, all of that. I mean...
All the shit Tesla was supposed to have had. You know, all of it. Just the Tesla package.
Yep, 100%. Oh, God. And, since this is a huge mailbag, our final question is from Me Bad. Bermuda Triangle, good, clean, fun, or portal to hell?
Why not both?
A portal to hell could be good, clean, fun. I can totally see that.
Do you really want to go to heaven if the people who think heaven exists are correct?
It depends on who I'm talking to.
It's true.
I will. Do I get an opportunity to allow to poll them about what their opinion of heaven is, and then settle on the one that I like the best? Because I'm sure one of them could come up with something that sounds appealing enough.
I just don't really want to go to heaven in its current form, I don't think.
Well,
I'm lazy. Paradise sounds awesome. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm so lazy. Like, I just want to be comfortable.
Well, do you have to hang out with people in heaven? Is it like a? Is it like a?
It's paradise. So no.
Okay.
By the logic of what the Bible tells us, you're just like happy, and it's great. So yeah, heaven is just ignoring everybody. Heaven's just having a little cloud being like, man, fuck everybody else.
Jehovah's Witnesses unfortunately get stuck on Earth, but it's paradise.
Also, even if you did have to hang out with them, given an eternity, wow, this episode might run long. Given an eternity, I think that cool people could elevate boring previous Christians than like previous Christians would drag cool people down to their level. Like, you know, I feel like with an unlimited amount of time and no burden to do anything other than produce culture, eventually you would win them over by just being like, hey, you can continue sitting there in your beige box and just like smiling politely into a corner and doing whatever. Or you can join us where you have dancing and music and, you know, good food, just cool stuff going on.
Orgies. Pizza.
I've always wanted to understand how consent works in heaven when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Jesus Christ. It's like, I feel like the rules probably fucking apply everywhere, Mike. Enthusiastic consent is kind of what you want.
I know, but I'm just saying, like paradise for me is like, there's that hot chick over there and I totally want to get with her. And it's like, it's paradise, so I get what I want. And it's like, but the hot chick is like, no, go away, you weirdo. And she like, heaven maces me, and then I'm like, my eyes are burning, but it's paradise. But
this is why you can't ever be the fucking one, Mike. If it's your paradise, why would you ever let your weird hangups about consent like figure into it at all? Just use paradise to construct like a fucking like a sex robot that is like literally 99.99999% indistinguishable from the real thing. Like, you could just have it your way. Have God create you a perfect woman that that would perfectly love to consent to have sex with you. Couldn't wait to do it, you know?
Yeah, it's heaven. It, the woman that you would meet would be a creation. Specifically catered to you.
I hope that when I get to heaven, I have options that like forbid me from needing to think about whether or not I want to fuck other people that had died ahead of me, or that die and show up. I can't. Like, I hope I'm not there wringing my hands, just being like, "Oh, my high school crush. Ooh, I can't wait for her to die in a car accident. Come on, right. You know that.
This is what we were talking about here. Is heaven a holodeck? Because if it's a holodeck, then that's whatever. But what Elle just said was something like, I've always like had in my head is like this like terrible dark view of heaven where it's like just all these guys in the 1950s are dead and they're all just waiting for Marilyn Monroe to croak. And it's just like, oh man, can't wait. And it's just like, and God's like, guys, I don't know if Marilyn's getting in here. And they're like, oh, she's fucking getting in here, goddammit. You don't make the rules around here, God, we do. And it's like, well, man, this is getting
real. Did those guys get into heaven? They seem a little aggressive.
I know.
Do the goalposts move, though? Like, you know, like that's the problem. That's why, again, getting back to the beginning of it, I would need to line up a parade of these ding-dogs. I would just be like, tell me how your heaven works. And then eventually I'll settle on one. I'm like, deal, this heaven sounds cool and rad. Excellent. Well done, you creator of my heaven.
I love our question of the Bermuda Triangle goes to have a theological discussion about.
Oh yeah, was that the initial question? The Bermuda Triangle is really boring. Like, unfortunately, it's just boring. It's just a highly trafficked stretch of water, and because it's highly trafficked, like, yeah, there's a higher propensity for stuff to go missing there because more shit's going through there. Like, yeah. I would love for it to be aliens or methane gas or Avalon or whatever. Atlantis is none of those things. It's just a stretch of water that's more heavily trafficked than normal. And that means, and it's in like a hurricane belt or whatever. Get the fuck out of here.
There is a gigantic man-eating ship sinking Kraken there, though. Just a little
for that guy, but he's cool. You know, just leave him alone.
Yeah, his name is Steggy. Yeah. He's great.
Stitchell.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to our final question, which is always, what are you guys looking forward to?
Becoming a nude model.
Right, see? You should look into it. Check it out. Cross it off your bucket list.
It wasn't on my bucket list, you know. It was, in fact,
you might say
it's something I've never considered. I save my nudity for like very specific moments of my life, like showering or you know, etc. No. I got nothing. I'm pretty boring, chill pattern. I guess I could say, I mean, I'm going to probably reuse it again, like when the time comes closer, but I'm a sucker for a good trailer. The new Deadpool trailer came out. It's a movie I'm definitely going to go see with some of my goober friends. So looking forward to that. And that's like rattle around in the brain and D&D, but I think I used D&D last time, but I'm always excited about D&D. I'm a nerd in that fashion.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to, Haley?
I'm going to go look at some trains, you know. There's, you know, in Arizona, we have a lot of open desert, and some of that open desert, trains get parked there for periods of time. And if you like art, legal, definitely legal art on the trains, it's fun stuff to do. Just go look at trains. I'm going to look at trains. It's good weather right now.
Yeah.
Train watching.
There's a building block that the train I take it during part of my commute passes by, and like everyone in the block has like come to an agreement, and once every like season they allow local graffito artists to paint a big like group mural on it. And sometimes they are incredibly fucking rad. Like one time it was all like comic book themed and shit. So there's a bunch of different people's takes on different comic book characters and stuff. Periodically, one graffiti artist who's like very good at hyper realism shows up. And one time he did like a Boris Karloff's Frankenstein on there. It was very good. Anyway, yeah. It's like you mentioning that totally legal art reminded me that we actually do have a little spot for some totally legal graffiti art that I get to train past. So it's sort of like a weird juxtaposition.
I saw a cool Simpsons one the last time I was out. You know how some people write letters and it's Simpsons characters?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Was it about eating shorts, et cetera, or steamed hams?
Yeah. No. It was like the couch. But it looked cool.
How about you, Mike? What are you excited about?
Well, we have more sports ball upcoming. The Celtics are going to crush the Miami Heat. The Bruins are trying to blow it against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Those battles are going on. And tomorrow night is the NFL draft, so we're going to see if the Patriots fuck it up or not. That'll be the fun on a bun when they are the third team to make a selection, and either they pick the right quarterback everyone wants them to pick, they pick the wrong quarterback, which would make us all very mad, or they don't pick and they trade the pick and they give someone else the ability to get the good quarterback, which would also be enraging. So that'll be a really fun little moment in time when the broadcast are like, now New England's on the clock. Will they fuck it up? And then we all get to watch and see if the New England Patriots, now not run by anyone confident, are just like a little toddler walking towards an electrical outlet with a fork in their hand. Do they stab the outlet or not? What will happen? Be like, oh man, please don't do it, little toddler. Don't drive the fork into the outlet. Someone stop the toddler from doing that, please. I beg of you.
Nice. Well, there we go. Of course, there we go, Mike, at the end, finally somehow tying it back into a toddler electrocuting itself, presumably to death. Wonderful. What a light and fluffy show we run here. Comedy show! Am I right, guys? What a bunch of cupbusters. Thank you, dear listeners, so much for listening to the show and supporting us. If you'd like to continue to support us even harder, but still for free, you can do so by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. If you have money and you want to give it to us, Lord knows we will take it. You can visit us at patreon.com/pokerpolitics, where your donation of $5 or more per month will get you access to all of our bonus content, past, present, and future, including all the stuff we recorded in the Sarge days and all the current up-to-date content that Mike has been recording with Haley and all the future stuff we may do together once I stop being such a lazy bum about it. Thank you so much for all of our beautiful babies who are already up in the crib. If you have money and you don't want to give it to us, we totally understand that. There's a bunch of different ways you could do good with it in the world. The one we've always suggested is visiting love146.org. They are an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. Thanks as always to DJ Minimal Effort for the use of our original theme song, accidentally remixed by Mike Raines himself. thanks also goes out to our buddy Frosty for all of our voice artist work when we need it. The voice of Q, our bumps, etc. You can find them on Blue Sky at FrostyVO. You can find the show you're listening to, The Adventures in Hellworld, on Twitter at Hellworld with a Q instead of an O. You can find me, Mysterious L, on Blue Sky only because Twitter is for losers. Losers like my other two co-hosts who are on all social media platforms at the following information. You can find Haley at Arizona Right Watch, a.k.a. AZRW, and Mike Rains, of course, at Poker Politics. So if you're a social media fan, that's where you can find ya boys. Honorary boy goes out to Haley in this instance. So that's going to do it for another successful episode of the Adventures of the Hellworld podcast. As always, I've been one of your hosts, the Mysterious L, joined by Haley, a.k.a. Arizona Right Watch, and our expert in all things QAnon crazy, Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics. Goodspeed, Patriots! Bow, bow, bow.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.